Right. Alrighty. Good morning. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-22-186. It is 11:25 on July 6th of 2022. My name is Julie Fedorchak. I'm joined by Randy Christman and Sherry Haugen-Hoffert. Do either of you guys have opening comments?
I do not.
I do not.
All right. We will run around the room and introduce the staff and company reps who are here. And then we'll have the applicant go first in this proceeding. And we'll turn it over to Xcel Energy for their presentation. First, staff.
Robert Frank.
Victor Shook, staff.
Adam Renfant, staff.
Tony Grinberg, Xcel Energy.
Dave Cedarquist, Xcel Energy. And Nick Pollock with Xcel Energy is on the line.
Dave, I think you can go ahead.
Okay. Well, the commission is well aware of some of the challenges that we've had in the past few years with respect to passing back credits or refunds to customers. Our current billing system, it has some limitations. It can only process these types of credits in a sequential manner. So we operate in five different states. We have a number of different types of credits that we need to pass back, and this commission's been extremely patient with the company. You've approved various set creative methods, if you will, for us to get these things to customers quicker, including doubling up on two payments from the DOE, for example. We've even credited or reduced the amount of a rate case with the proceeds from these payments. We appreciate all that, but this, what we're calling the billing credit rider, is an alternative. It's an attempt to try to be more timely with these credits, and so that's basically what it is here. We think that instead of possibly 6 to 9 month delays in getting credits, we could maybe do it in a month or two with this approach. We can even pancake different types of credits if we would need to with this rider. If, for example, I'll talk a little bit later, but our nuclear fuel DOE payments are an annual credit that we've been passing back to customers now for a number of years. We anticipate that we will be able to continue that. So that would almost be a consistent use of the BCR, I guess it would be. And if anything else were to come along the way, an earnings sharing adjustment or something of that nature, we could even put that on top of the DOE and revise the BCR rate to reflect both of those credits. So that's something that we couldn't do today. We could, using this credit, we could issue credits over varying time periods. I just mentioned the DOE. That would be maybe something that we would want to have every month of the year, just keep passing it back every month. But there might be other smaller credits that we might find it reasonable to pass back over a two-month period, a shoulder month perhaps, where there's not a lot of variability in sales. So that has flexibility in terms of the time period. We would include a true-up mechanism here to make sure that the amount of the credit is in fact getting passed back to customers, and we could, and of course that would be accompanied by reports and that kind of thing. So there's just a lot of advantages, we think, to using a BCR instead of what we are currently doing. I'm moving on to the next slide, the attributes slide. Basically, this would show up on a bill as like a negative charge, right? It would be, we would calculate a per kilowatt hour rate that is negative, and so customers would see on their bill when this rider was in place, they would see a credit. It might apply only to certain customer classes, depending on what kind of a credit it is. If there's some kind of a accounting change or something that maybe only affected residential customers, for example, I don't know what that might be, but if there were, we could apply it just to that class. So each customer class would have a unique BCR rate. We would want to make sure of that too, so that we could get as close as we could to what makes sense for the particular type of credit. What else? We would propose that changes, that we would file a proposed BCR credit 45 days in advance of when we would like the credit to start being passed back. We're open to discussion on that. Maybe that's too fast for the commission timeframes of noticing and things like that. But the whole point with this would be that since this is a reduction in the bill, that we would do our very best to implement it as quickly as possible.
Should we try to tie it? You know, so most of the credits are the result of some other kind of proceeding. Would it be better to tie it to that time frame rather than it's, you know, adding on its own? I mean, it's kind of tough to really nail down what exactly that would be.
Sure. So make that a provision of each individual type of credit?
I'm not sure what that tariff language says about the 45 days. I didn't catch that section in there. But, you know, whatever proceeding created the need for the credit, that would spell out how far in advance.
Okay.
Does that make some sense, or am I?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, part of the language is also just to make sure that we have given you enough time, so we're not going to file anything, you know, hey, we'd like this to go in 10 days, you know. But yeah, I think we could. I think that's a provision that we could probably talk about and see what would work best from the commission's processes and what we can do from our standpoint.
Sure. But I'm just noticing you're saying at least 45 days, and I think that would be pretty safe.
Yeah.
You know, so like you would file, you know, let's use the DOE credit for example. You would file your annual, hey, we got our credit. We want to pass this back to customers. We would issue a notice of opportunity that'll run, for our own safety's sake, sometimes we'll run it for 40 to 45 days anyway. So as long as you're specifying in that filing that you're planning to use this bill credit rider, I think we would cover all of that appropriately. So that probably does work. That I'm kind of talking myself through.
Okay. Well, let's kind of think about that and what we can do there. As far as helping customers understand what this credit would be, there's like three different things we're contemplating here. We would put the details of the BCR rate, which again could be comprised of one or two or maybe even three different credits depending on what's going on. So there'd be specific information on the website. We would include a bill backer, what we call a bill backer. It's like a paragraph on the back of the bill to help customers understand different lines of the bill, and that would direct them to the website for more specific details. There would also be a message, or we could use bill messaging to alert them that, you know, hey, there's a your bill credit rider has changed because of XYZ or whatever. So there are different ways that we can help the customer understand. We don't anticipate there'll be a lot of angst about getting the credit on there, but if they are interested in what it is, and as they maybe get used to it, they maybe will be more interested in the makeup of the credit. I should say that this could just be sort of a temporary tariff as well, because there's some work being done to look at our billing system and say, hey, we got to be able to work with multiple credit or multiple refunds and credits. We've got to figure that out. And so there might be in the future an ability to kind of do what we are doing today in a much more timely way. So in that point, the BCR credit rider, I don't know, you know, might not be as needed as it seems to be today.
Mine is really simple. Could we just call it bill credit rather than BCR rider?
Sure.
On the line, you know, just because nobody...
Customers
don't know riders. They have no idea what most, I don't think.
Okay.
And BCR definitely won't make sense to anybody. So if we could just call it like bill credit or something, you know, bill refund or something like that. And then on the back, there could be more explanation. I think that would be better than just calling it the BCR.
Yeah, you're talking about the bill itself.
On the bill itself.
Definitely.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely.
In the current system, when we do work through the whole process and it's finally time now for the credit to show up on people's bills. And sorry, I get more bills from MDU than I do from you. So I'm used to seeing theirs, and it's usually a little extra, very small sheet of paper in with the bill that addresses riders and bill changes and things they're doing. Do we see those explanations before and approve how you're explaining the bill credit that we have approved?
We've kind of had varying approaches over the years that I've been working on stuff. Sometimes we do that. We'll check with staff, hey, what do you think of this language? Or, you know, are we clear here? Other times, maybe there's, you know, been a time constraint and we've just gone ahead with something. Or in some cases, if it's been basically approved in the past, we'll just use a similar framework, you know, that's like an interim rate refund, for example. We've been doing those, so we'll use similar language. And so it's kind of, I think it's been different and under different circumstances.
I sort of feel like there should be something. You know, mm-hmm. Let's take a tax cut thing. It's a big difference if the company is saying, well, you know, you're getting this bill credit because our taxes went down. That's different than saying because the North Dakota legislature lowered our income taxes or the federal government lowered something or another. It can make a big difference how you explain things to people. And I think sometimes a set of eyes outside of the company might be pretty useful in that.
No, I agree. That's an excellent point. And especially with these bill credit rider items, because they typically will be the oddball kinds of non-recurring things, except for the DOE one. We kind of can see that one being a good application here. But so it will be important to make sure that we're explaining it in a way that makes sense. Part of the challenge is we only have so many characters on the bill message, so you've got to be very succinct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you going to say something, Vic?
No.
Okay.
So is what you're saying is you can't line item by credit type? You'll just get one liner?
Well, that does create some complications from what I understand, and we just thought that directing an interested consumer to a more detailed source would actually be more effective than having each individual bill credit on the bill. But again, we can take another look at that if that's something that the commission is really interested in. It's probably going to be relatively rare that there's more than one type of credit at the same time. Even though we would have that flexibility, that would be probably not all that prevalent. So,
I understand your intent that if I was an Excel customer and I had a bill credit and I might see a little thing in my bill, so I go to the website, how am I going to know if I have one or two credits? I mean, it might be rare, but how are you going to know to look what that total represents?
Well,
That's a lot of my itemization. Yeah.
I think our vision for that website resource would be to just simply say, you know, if you're a North Dakota residential customer, you are seeing a bill credit on your bill and it's made up of this item.
Yeah.
Or these two items, and keep it as simple as we could. We might even be able to put on there, you know, the typical residential customer is expected to get this much back or whatever. So we can put more information on than we ever could on a bill.
Are you doing this for other states or just North Dakota?
Just North Dakota at this point. Yeah, you know, there are a couple of states that actually have put timelines on these DOE, and so North Dakota doesn't necessarily have a strict timeline. And, you know, so we're obligated to file in South Dakota, for example. I think it's within 90 days of getting the check. Well, you know, so what are you going to do? We've got to file with them and get that processed right away. So, yeah, at this point, we do have something kind of similar, I understand, in Colorado, but It's different. It's actually used for interim rate refunds in Colorado, which this is not a great tool for interim rate refunds. We would never use this for an interim rate refund because we have the capability of knowing what people have paid in for interim rates. And so we can refund what they should get. This isn't going to be as precise as that because we're taking the credit amount and we're basically dividing by our forecasted usage, kilowatt hours, and coming up with a rate and then letting that run in the future. So whereas with an interim rate, we'll actually go back in time and figure out how much each customer is due. So more or less. I just had a slide here, potential, if you're wondering, you know, what other applications here. The top two are probably the most prevalent ones, I think, are most obvious applications. We do have an earnings sharing mechanism in place right now on our electric side. We have had some asset sales where we've had some gain proceeds passed back. Tax laws could change, and there might be an application there for a credit. There might be corrections, other successful litigation. There might be a place there. We don't have any service quality related, penalties or anything, but this could work for something like that or anything else at the commission that might come along. That
don't leave this page yet.
Okay.
Are you done?
Yep.
So in the application, I think the accounting adjustments or corrections and the proceeds for successful litigation aren't in the list. There's just six things, and here you have eight. So are you requesting that the other two be added, or do you feel they fall into the other commission-approved refunds or credits, or why is the difference?
I don't think we're trying to come up with a prescriptive list, Commissioner. We're just trying to say here is there could be things coming along. There could be 20 things that might qualify. We're not trying to necessarily limit. We're just trying to give some potential uses here.
Which is the list that you're asking for? This list as you filed it or this list that we see on the screen?
We're not asking for a specific list. I guess the tariff does list some items, but we do have the catch-all in there, I think. Any other credits? So we're basically asking for the ability to file with you, hey, we've got a refund or we've got a credit here. This would be a good application for the BCR. Here it is. We want to leave it wide open, and then if you feel that that's not an appropriate use, then, the commission can reject it at that time.
Isn't this your requested language?
Yes.
And
the final one in the other, so they're just adding, they're just giving us ideas of what
examples
might fall into.
So, but this is what you're wanting.
That's what's officially in the tariff, yes.
Well, I'll say, and I don't know really why I flagged the tax refunds as being concerning. It just jumped out at me. But I flagged two of them, and the one that I think I have a problem with especially is the sale of assets. Even if we eliminated that one or both of them, it seems like you'd get most of these and be able to move things along more quickly. I don't know. I guess at this point I'm just feeling different about, when you acquire assets, we spread that cost out around everybody, and gosh, when the company that they're paying into starts getting rid of assets, and it just feels different to me than the rest. So, comment on that?
No, I guess we just feel if an asset's been in place, for a long time, and rates have been impacted by that, by the cost of that asset, that if we were to dispose of it in a way that led to a gain, that customers, it might make sense to pass those back to customers. I'm not saying that would be the case every time. I don't know.
So maybe an example will help. And I mean, it's not on the electric side, but a few years ago, you guys had sold some tanks on the gas side, and there was a gain on the sale of those tanks. and that gain was passed back to customers, I think, through the fuel clause on the gas side, because there wasn't really any other good place to put it. So had something like that happen on the electric side, this would allow them to pass it back there. And it wasn't huge. I mean, it was $200,000-$300,000, if I remember correctly.
And to be clear, I definitely think it should be passed back. I'm just wondering if that's different, that it should require a little bit more formal process like we've always done than the streamlined process that we're working on
and,
here.
And it would. So this is really just the ability to pass back those credits. Like a sale of assets still requires approval by the commission, as it normally would, and they would have to go through that process. And a lot of the things on that list have their own processes. This is just kind of creating, I think more so than the tariff, creating a mechanism
framework
within your billing system to pass those back more efficiently.
That makes more sense.
In some ways, this is like the competitive response, right? We're creating a framework here, and then there will still be applications for specific use of that framework.
Any other questions? No, Jerry?
No.
I don't.
Any other info to add, Dave? Oh.
I was just going to, there's an example calculation. I don't know that I need to speak to it, but it just basically shows that we're dividing a credit amount by the sales, by the projected sales for the period and coming up with a rate. The true up, now I will say on the true up, we would use a true up mechanism for this. There's the devil in the details piece that we haven't even thoroughly worked through because we haven't really had one. But generally speaking, we would sort of model it after how we do gas cost true ups generally. So what I would say here is that we're going to be extremely transparent with staff and make it easy for them to see where the calculations are coming from on the true up. The other thing I would say is a true up might only take 1 month to true up. So let's say we go 3 months and we issue a credit and we still need to issue another 50,000 for whatever reason. We'll try and true that up in that month. If we still need to issue another 10,000, we'll true it up another month. We'll just keep going until we've issued the full amount. And if we overissue, within reason, we're just going to let it go at that. So the true-up period is a little flexible, a little fluid that way. For one like the DOE, the way we could maybe work this on the DOE, where we might spread that $1 million credit to every month of the year, we might get to the end of the year and say, hey, we still need to pass back another $100,000. We might just cut that up and throw that into the next year's check and have the true-up just flow right with the next check, either up or down the true-up. So we might just keep that running like that because it is an annual ongoing credit. So it kind of depends, and again, we'd lay that out very clearly in our filing. Because I would expect the first filing would be the DOE credit. That's the first thing that we would come to you with, and here's how the DOE credit's going to work. So we would try to specify that. All right. As far as the review here, we've talked about the 45 days. We really want to make sure that we work closely with staff to get them comfortable with the work papers and how we're calculating things, and I would even envision that we sit down with staff on something like this and walk through it with them, because that's still way simpler to come down and come over, sit down, walk through the whole thing. That's still way simpler than the current method. Just walk through it and answer questions right on the fly. Staff hopefully would then make a recommendation to commission on that specific credit type, and of course the commission have their usual options to accept, reject, or maybe even just let it go into service. I mean, let it go into effect. It's up to you guys. But that's kind of it on the bill credit rider. Questions?
Any other questions on that? Okay, so we'll just wrap this one up. any of the handouts and material, as well as the recording, is now considered evidence. Do either parties have any objection to us making a decision based on this evidence?
No objection from staff.
No.
All righty. Anything else to add? It doesn't appear to be. Then the evidence as presented will now become part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. There doesn't appear to be any other additional matters for the record. So this informal hearing is now closed. Thank you.